voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near.
Thanks, Brent. What a great song, and what a great group we have here today. Thanks for joining us. Whether you are here in person or watching online on Facebook, we're so grateful for your presence. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. If you were not here last week, then maybe you know, maybe you don't know, that we began our walk through Advent, this season of active waiting, with our eyes watching, with our ears open to what God may be birthing into the world. To help us do that during our services, at least, we have a full printed out bulletin. If you do not have one of these, then you may want to grab one. We'll be utilizing it throughout our entire service. I saw Steve passing a couple of them out. He has some extras right here. If you just want to wave at him, he'll bring you one. If not, we have some in the lobby. All of our songs and scriptures and prayers are written out for us. I shared last week that one reason that we're doing this is because I am not very good at memorizing things, which is why I preach the way that I do, with a written manuscript. When things are written down, I can revisit them whenever I want. This includes what happens during our Advent services. I can return to these readings, these prayers, these scriptures, and let God move me once again long after the Sunday morning gathering is concluded. The writings, for another reason we're doing this, are not mine. They're not one specific person, they're ours. These are our collective songs, prayers, and writings as we gather through Advent. So I invite you to come, bring your whole selves to worship, your whole hearts. Bring whatever you can, how you are willing, and let God stir those places deep within your heart as you need it today. Thanks for being here. We will, as always, share communion together. If you're watching online, now's a great time to grab the bread, crackers, juice, water, wine, whatever you're using. We will share that together in just a little while. Also, Chelsea, if you'll go to the next slide, please. This little character made an appearance last week. This is a hidden Jesus. If you were not here last week, I reminded everyone that when I was preaching directly to a cell phone, 8 inches in front of my face for 53 straight weeks. During the Advent season, we were over here and hidden Jesus was somewhere on the wall right here, and your job was to find where hidden Jesus is located. We do this because we always want to search, where's Jesus? What's he doing? What's he up to? So that's why we have hidden Jesus hidden on the wall, and we have a much bigger arena to use now. Here's a story. I did not hide hidden Jesus this week. My daughter did last Sunday, and I had no idea where hidden Jesus was. I had to text my wife to ask my daughter where he was. So I know where hidden Jesus is. If you are young or young at heart, anybody here during your first couple of songs, you are welcome to walk around the auditorium while we sing and worship to try to find the hidden Jesus, okay? Before we do that, we are going to light our second candle. This is the candle of peace, which reminds us of God's desire for peace, for shalom, for wholeness in our lives and in the world. God is our peace, just as God is our hope. Together in increasing light on our way to Christmas, we light the candle of peace and the candle of hope together. Our call to worship today comes from Luke chapter 1. I invite you to stand as we do this, please. Chelsea, you got the slides for this one, if you don't mind. Thank you. I will read the parts in white. If you will respond with the parts in yellow that are up on the screen, or the exact same words are in your bulletin, those are in bold. John the Baptizer's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, to show mercy, to remember, to rescue us from enemies, to enable us to serve without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Let's worship together.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. Earth angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Earth angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble form. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Let's be seated.
Our prayer of adoration this morning. You'll see your part in yellow when Max hit the next slide in just a moment. Let's pray together. Advent, Lord, we want to sing the song of joy to you, the song that Zechariah sang. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he saw the promise of salvation coming true as we do now in Jesus. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to set and set them free. Advent, Lord, we want to sing out your praises because you set us free to worship without fear as you make us holy and righteous in your sight in all the days of our lives. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and set them free. Advent, Lord, you set us free from all that binds us. You bring healing and wholeness, calling us to prepare your way. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and set them free.
Luke 3:1-6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod the ruler of Galilee, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan River, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation."
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God to thee, O Israel. cheer our spirits by thine advendear. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows ought to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in our way to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our sins and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
Our prayer of confession. Jesus came out of the wilderness to preach, or John came out of the wilderness to preach repentance. He preaches to us still. Make straight the paths we now walk, and prepare the way for God's reign of justice and love. Let us pray. Refining God, you have sent us prophets, and we have not listened. We have not always determined what is best or made way for your reign in our lives, our church, and our society. Forgive us and renew your covenant within us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through the Holy Spirit, instruct us once again that we may hear your call afresh. Amen. Let's move into a time of silent prayer.
A prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you are the light that guides our feet. You are the one who makes the crooked straight. You are the one who has come to set us free. Thank you, God, for the ones who help us to walk safely and well, for classroom teachers and crossing guards, for road sweepers and rescue teams, for sisters and brothers and others of all sorts who remember you and will not let us forget. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our true guide and our pathway this Advent and always. Amen.
All right. For our young ones, we have some activities set up for you. And back here in the back of the auditorium with Miss Brandy, if you'd like to go back there, we have some things that we know you'll enjoy. Let's sing together.
Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace by thronging duties press to do the will of Jesus. This is blessed. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows searching around on a Jesus, bosom not but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus keeping we are safe and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus, we know and He is on the throne. It is enough, earth's struggles
soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to heaven's perfect peace.
Malachi 3, verses 1 through 4. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have people who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years.
Thank you, Dee, for reading. Jeff, thanks for reading as well. Chelsea, for praying for us today. And let's pray again together, please. Oh God, you are our God, now as always. This morning, would you pour forth through me the gift of preaching? Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. I know people, ministers mostly, who shudder when Christmas songs are sung at church services during the Advent season. Jesus has not yet been born. How can we sing Silent Night and Go Tell It on the Mountain before December 25th? Why should we hark the herald angels and the first Noels when the still pregnant Mother Mary has yet to behold the Christ child in her arms? These people make a good argument, and if I had a choice to make, I would likely lean that direction too, although the older I get, the more I do appreciate the sound of Christmas music throughout November and December. The problem with such a choice, theirs and now mine, I guess, is that while Christmas carols proliferate our hymnals and seasonal radio stations, Advent songs are much fewer in number. If we were part of another Christian faith tradition, that might be a little different, where a few more Advent songs are sung by rehearsed choirs and with pipe organs, but here we are with neither of those. The main ones we are most familiar with, however, we have sung today. O come, Emmanuel, and Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus, both beautiful songs. Other than that, we are relegated to scraping the bottom of the hymnal archive for something that sounds a little Advent-y. Though who among us could forget the Advent anthem, this classic rousing song entitled, Lo, the Baptist Herald Cry? The first three stanzas, as you surely know, go something like this. Lo, the Baptist herald's cry shakes the Jordan. Let the wakening eye and ear welcome the great harbinger. Earth and sea and listening sky wait their maker, and throughout the mighty womb feel the jubilee is come. Let us cast the way on high for his coming. Cleanse the heart and make it me. For his heaven-descended feet. Just flows off the tongue, doesn't it? No matter which category you fall under, please sing all the Christmas hymns right now, or please don't sing any Christmas hymns yet. Perhaps we can at least agree that the former is more uplifting to sing this time of year. Gloria in excelsis Deo is preferable 9 times out of 10 to the archaic welcome the great harbinger. And who even knows what harbinger means? It means heralds, if you didn't know, someone or something that signals the approach of someone or something else. On this, the second Sunday of Advent, all of our lectionary texts are about harbingers, someone who is giving the heads up about the approach of someone else. Malachi is one of those harbingers. He's also a fairly obscure prophet in the Bible, and if all you needed was for me to say the word Malachi so that you could cover your yearly lectionary bingo board, today is your lucky day. Congratulations. Malachi shows up only twice during the 3-year scripture cycle, one a few weeks ago, which we did not read, and today, the one that we did that Jeff just read for us. Malachi's claim to fame, if it can be called that, is that it's the last book in the Old Testament, the final page before the First Testament transitions to the second one. Less known is what Malachi is all about and why he makes an appearance at Advent at all. Malachi, which means my messenger, lived and wrote during the time between when the Temple of Jerusalem was rebuilt after Israel's long Babylonian exile. See Larry and Dorian's and Dick's class for more on that. But was probably before Nehemiah's reconstructed the walls around Jerusalem. You can visit Dee Pipes' class for that. It was just a few decades between the two. With the temple rebuilt, the priesthood and the people they were supposed to be shepherding fell into a familiar pattern, making deliberate choices that made a mockery of God's presence. One of the biggest offenses was that some people were sacrificing gifts to God that were already broken and were not worth a thing. An item pulled from the box, headed to a thrift store and saying, "Eh, good enough," and dropping it in the collection plate as it passed on by. The issue reflected the selfish content of their heart, rather than mirroring the generosity that God had so compassionately given to them. What kind of misguided, egocentric worship is that? And the priests, they let it happen, encouraged it, did it themselves. And what the self-seeking religiosity led to was something like this. If I can give God my minimum and get away with it, then I can do the same to my fellow human beings as well. Man. Which led to, in Malachi's words, the defrauding of workers of their wages, oppressing the widows and the orphans, depriving foreigners of justice. You are robbing me, God says. Something God would not and could not stand for. Back to chapter 3. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. Okay, that's not too bad. But wait, there's more. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? He will be like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by. I'm not a blacksmith. I don't know a thing about forging fires and kilns. I don't own an anvil. And while I occasionally do the laundry, Chelsea is much better at it than I am. I don't know which detergents and sprays work best with what water temperatures and how long the pre-soaking time's got to be and whatnot. But when God, through Malachi, speaks of blazing fires that refines the dullest of metals, or of the strongest of soaps that bleaches the grimiest of clothes, it sounds painful and disagreeable and unpleasant. Plus, who would desire anything like that, especially so close to Christmas, when Celine Dion is already ingloriously singing, "O Holy Night"? When my family put up the tree and the ornaments in our living room last week, I lifted up Cora onto my shoulder so she could twist tie the glittering star to the top. The last thing I was thinking of was burning the dross away from my soul and if decisions I had recently made stained or cleansed my heart. As much as the prophets want a Christmas day to arrive too, they know that the best way to get there is through mindful and heartful preparation. God's holy, all-consumingness is the prescribed burn, which will blister and scald the soul's underbrush, but will also pop open dormant seeds that now have a chance to root and then grow and then flourish. God knows a thorough cleansing will leave behind something fresh to wear in faith. And preparatory faith is what we'll need since God will arrive how barely anyone expects, fully incarnate and completely vulnerable, utterly dependent and downright poor, to a brave teenage girl, herself unbetrothed and unwelcome. For ancient Israelites and their priests, or for modern-day Christians and their minister, for people who seek and desire the Lord to come, we must come to discover that God will indeed come, but on God's terms and not ours. While we are naturally inclined to envision God's coming as favorable to our sensibilities and advantageous to our personal wishes, Malachi here on the second Sunday in Advent reminds us that God's movements and God's wisdom rarely meets human expectations, often because we are not yet ready to hear and trust in those movements and that wisdom. To learn to believe God, then, we should not be surprised to find that God employs certain people, prophets we call them, to deliver such surprising news, which is simultaneously very uncomfortable and very good. Malachi delivered that kind of news. So would Zechariah, the old priest, four or five centuries after Malachi. Zechariah, who would be as surprised as Mary to find out that he would soon be a parent, would eventually sing this song to anyone who would listen. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He would include his own son in the second part, and you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. The rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. That child's name would be John, and John, for his part, would eventually find his own voice too, the one God would give to him. He would eventually go all throughout the countryside, around the Jordan River, preaching a baptism of repentant life change, leading to forgiveness of sins. But his main role would slot into a vision the prophet Isaiah once had, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John, by making people very uncomfortable with the very good news of God's incoming, would do just that. Publicizing God's new arrival in a manner the writer of the little-known Advent hymn would later pick up on. Lo, the Baptist's herald cry shakes the Jordan. Let the wakening eye and ear welcome the great harbinger. The shaking John the Baptizer would do as all prophets do, shocks our eyes and ears back into working order through fire, through laundering, through birth, through baptism. The shaking can feel like a threat to our settled ways of life, but it also recalibrates the spiritual homes we find ourselves in, throwing away the stacked boxes that no one can see over, sweeping out the cobwebs, getting into the hard-to-reach places of our souls that no one knows about but you. The poet Anne Weems, in her book Kneeling in Bethlehem, takes a less loud approach than her male colleagues. Her voice is more gentle, but is no less serious or piercing. She writes this: in each heart lies a Bethlehem, an inn where we must ultimately answer whether there is room or not. While Malachi, Zechariah, and John may burst in through the front doors of our busy lives and preoccupied selves, Anne patiently knocks and waits for us to answer. But once inside, she, like them, grabs a broom, hands us a mop, and says, "Time to clean house. Time to make space. The guest is coming." If they start singing while they work, don't be alarmed. It's just kind of their thing. Whether you can sing along with their lesser hymns, or if you were just now learning the words, do pay attention to the lyrics. It'll make the clearing away and the airing out not a burden or an inconvenience, but a joy, and especially a peace, which is not about the absence of strife, but about the presence of God, who is our peace, full and near. In that disruptive peace, the God of Advent is actively recreating a future beyond our planned communities and our orderly categories, a future given only in God's mercy and generosity. With open hands and open hearts, with whatever space we can offer, we wait for it, we prepare for it, we receive it as the gift that it is, wherever it may take us. Thanks be to God. And together we say, or we type, amen. In that space, we meet to eat the food that God provides, to the table that Jesus himself is the host of and has invited us to. So this morning, as we are so accustomed to doing, we eat some bread, we drink from the cup, a little thimble of juice to remind us that Christ's presence is indeed among us, with us, and we can see it in each other. We get to share this with each other. What a gift this is. So in a moment, I'm going to pray. If you want to help share the bread and the cup to the rest of the congregation, you can join me up here in just a moment, and we'll go forth from there. Let's pray together, please. Oh, surprising God, you meet us where we are, how we're doing, where we find ourselves located. Today we find ourselves located in all sorts of ways, here in our body, here in our minds, in our hearts, our souls. And we entrust all of them to you today, just as we continue to entrust this church to you. We eat and drink together in joy. We do that now through Christ. Amen.
alone I seek. Give what is best. This all my prayer shall be.
Okay, as we also do every Sunday, we have an opportunity to give. Thanks for doing that. You can give today here in person, you can give online, you can drop something off the church office, put it in the mail. We will continue to use it however you give it, so we thank you for that. We also have our Missions Love offering today, and I'll talk more about that in just a moment, but if you have two separate offerings, one for the regular contribution and one for the Missions Love offering, all of those can go in the same pan today. You can put everything in there along with any of the cards that you may have filled out this morning that I did not talk about, but you were so good at remembering to do so. While Glenn and Larry are walking around, I'll read to you a couple of words that both Reggie and Glenn sent to me, but I'll do that in just a moment. Let's pray together, please. By your grace, O God, we meet here in person and online, and also by grace we get to give, and we thank you for both of these. We pray that, as always, your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. So many of you likely know these two folks up on the screen. You see Glenn over on the left. Glenn Langston works with Insight International Ministry specifically to folks who are blind. And that's Reggie on the right. She works with refugees over in Austria. This week I asked both of them just to send me just a word, a small update to you. And I'm going to read those as Glenn and Larry walk around. First, this is from Reggie. Dearest friends at Southwest Central, I want to thank you for your continued prayers on my behalf. They have meant so much to me and the precious souls the Lord has sent our way. Although these are most difficult times we are living in, we have much to be thankful for, such as friends like you, and as well as new friends who have become followers of Christ from countries such as Afghanistan, Africa, Iran, and so on. Thanks to your willingness to make it possible for my coworkers and I to share the good news with these friends. You may have already heard that Austria is now in its fourth lockdown, which, Lord willing, is going to end by December 13th, in time for us to celebrate Christ's entry into this world some 2,000 years ago, so that we could have a chance to be reconciled to him again and thereby have the blessed assurance of spending eternity with him when that time comes. Let us all rejoice in the Lord always. We love you with the love of the Lord. 4! And from Glenn. To each of our brothers and sisters who are part of God's family at the Southwest Central Church of Christ. Anne and I can never thank you enough for your loving generosity and your steadfast prayers. We appreciate the Christmas love offering very much, and we thank the Lord that you have stood with us since 1971, helping us to bring God's message of salvation to many blind and visually impaired persons throughout the world. In the coming newsletter, due out around Christmas, I tell us new Bible studies, of audio Bibles going to several countries, and other various ministry news. In mid-November, I arrived back in the U.S. after teaching and speaking in Ireland. The journey was a challenge, partly because of COVID, but the Lord was with me, as your prayers were, and they are always a tremendous value and comfort to me. Anne and I wish you a safe and happy and enjoyable Christmas and a wonderful 2022. With love and thanks in Christ our Lord, Glenn and Anne Langston. Thank you for giving to that. As we've been saying, we'll split it right in the middle, 50-50, and the money that you give will go to each of them this holiday season. All right, a couple of other family matters to share with you, some which are not up on the screen. You do see that first one right up there. We have a baby shower this afternoon, 4:30 p.m. You are welcome to come and be a part of that. The family has asked, and we are going to honor that everybody who attends wear masks. We're going to do that, please. This is, again, at 4:30 here in our lobby. You can see a couple places where they are registered. Am I missing anything, Chels? Am I good on that announcement? Okay. All right. There's not a slide for this, but we do have a children and youth Christmas party on December 12th. This is next Sunday, immediately after service, about halfway through our Bible class. We'll do a couple of activities and eat together over in the fellowship hall, and that will be a great time together. Martha, Stephanie, and I will help put that on, so let us know if your child can attend. Also, on December 19th, that's the day that this area is going to be filled with poinsettias. If you want to give a poinsettia in honor of somebody or in memory of somebody, you can drop a check in the offering plate with the special contribution envelope, letting us know who you are giving an honor to or memory of. You can bring that by the office. You can email King your list. He can take care of that. If you give online, you can totally do that too. Also, please let King know who you are giving the flowers to, because sometimes the emails don't say the names that you want to honor or a couple other notes that might be written. So we'll do this for the next 2 weeks. If you want to participate in that, look in our newsletter this week for more information. And there's Bible classes all over the building. I sure hope that you choose to stay for one of these today as we break out into our smaller faith community groups here throughout the building. We mentioned last Sunday that our friend and brother, Stanley Gay, passed away unexpectedly on Thanksgiving afternoon. His funeral is this upcoming Saturday at 11 a.m. here in the building. You are welcome to come and be a part of that. I know that Stanley's extended family will come and be a part of that as well as a lot of folks from our neighborhood who knew and loved Stanley. We are going to provide a family-specific meal for the Gays right after the service, sometime probably around noon. That will be over in the fellowship hall. I have probably 4 or 5 people who said that they will help serve with that. I'm looking for maybe 2 to 3, 4 more. If you are willing to do that, please come see me or King this week, and we will give you more information about that. Others of you said, I want to help out in some way, but I can't serve or maybe even can't come. You can give some money to help pay for that meal. If you want to do that, you can just hand that to me, and I will take care of that. Okay. I want to invite Jessica, Nora, Jessica, your parents can come too, if that's okay, if they want to. No? Yes? Yes, they are coming. That's great. I'm going to invite Kay Pipes up here too. I'm going to get something as I'm standing up here. Maybe just to my left, right over here. I'll scoot over a bit. I want to show you a text that Jessica sent me. This is Friday, September 24th. I'm going to turn around so I can see it. Jessica's the top part. We had a consult this week. This is talking about a potential adoption pair. We had a consult this week that I didn't mention, by the way. We haven't heard anything, but they just met with the birth mom yesterday. I'm in a season of questioning whether we chose the right path, but I'm hanging on because I am trying to trust God more. Yes, I was praying for that very thing for you this whole week. I hear you about the questioning and the trusting, how hard it must be to keep holding on for so long. 24 hours later, Jessica got another phone call from the adoption agency, said, "We got a baby for you. Come and get her." She was born on that Friday when we were texting, and we had no idea for that. Talk about the gift of Advent waiting, right? So we're going to bless Megan today. We're going to bless Nora, Jessica. Alex is with his mom over in Mississippi still. Is that correct? As we talked about last week, his mom had a significant fall and some surgeries regarded to that. So he can't be here today, but he is with us in spirit for sure. So I'm not going to do the full blessing today. We're going to pass that over to start with Jessica and Nora. Is Nora going to go first? You can go second. Okay, Jessica's going to say a few things, followed by Nora, if Nora wants to, and then Kay.
Megs, your birth mother loves you so much. Your mommy loves you, your daddy loves you, and your sissy loves you like no one has ever loved you before. Your grandparents love you, and Auntie Kay loves you very, very much. Yeah. This family loves you. And will be there for you every moment that you need them.
For this child, Jessica and Alex and Nora prayed. For this child, their families and friends prayed. For this child, we as a church family prayed. For this child, we prayed. And the Lord granted our petition. Hallelujah. Join me. Hallelujah. So today we give thanks for this child, Megan Nicole Vaughn. And we bless her and we bless her family, those who are here and those who wish they were and those who couldn't come but are still her family and will be a part of her life forever. Today we give thanks and we bless her family, her father, her mother, her sister, her grandparents, her aunts and her uncles, her cousins, and the friends who have become family. Because we know that families are not made only by birth, by blood. Families are made by love. And we remember that we are all adopted children. Because the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is our Father, who chose us. Actually picked us out for himself to be his very own. God planned in love for us, for all of us, to be adopted as his own dear children. In the same way, Alex and Jessica planned in love to adopt a child. And now here at last is Megan Nicole, Nora's little sister. My husband David often prayed for this church family using the words from the third chapter of Ephesians. And on behalf of this entire church family, I offer these words today as a prayer of blessing for this child and for this family and for this family. So please unite your prayers with mine. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven on earth is named, that God grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and height and depth and length, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Amen.
We've written the two texts, the two scriptures that Kay just read over Megan. So this is a gift. Nora, can I have you hold that, please? Yeah, it's for Megan. As we finish today, y'all can stay right here. Let's join them and stand, please, as our benediction comes from Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until right now. And being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insights, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Go in peace and purpose, friends. See you next Sunday.